The message that that Lord has laid on my heart for today was something I began working on a couple weeks ago, concurrently with a different message. But we're one Sunday into the new year, and I really felt like God has been speaking to my heart about us as individuals and as a church focusing on this particular concept this year. Maybe dispensing with some of the larger events, trying to simplify a little bit, but instead focus on building relationships. And so today, you think to yourself, the title of the message is How to Practice Hospitality, and you're like, really? Oh no. Hopefully we'll be able to take that, disassemble it, reassemble it in a way that you'll go, oh, instead of, oh. Romans 12:13 says, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Well, if we're going to practice it, it would probably be good to find out what it is. First things first, hospitality probably isn't what you think. At least it's not necessarily what you think it is. At the very least, it encompasses a much broader range of possibilities than you might be thinking in your mind right at this moment. I want to define it today by its obvious root word. Now, before you hit that button, let's see if we can figure that out. There you go. It's good. Okay, it's not hard. Hospital. Obviously, the root of hospitality comes from the concept of hospital. Hospitals were established to provide and promote healing. Well, at least that's what they were for. We're not always sure what they're for now these days, but the reason we have them is because somebody intended for the hospital to be a place where people could get help, receive healing. And I want to suggest to you today that God wants to help you identify the talents and the resources that you possess so that you can use them to help heal others. God wants to identify the talents and the resources that you possess so that you can use those talents and resources to extend hospitality to people and promote healing in their lives. So my goal for our church this year is a focus primarily on building relationships and healing hearts within our church and within our community. One of the best ways I believe we can do that is by practicing hospitality. Now, we want to do this for two reasons. Two reasons. Number one, to build people up and to strengthen relationships within our church family. Now, building up, that's a big deal. I mean, we've talked about how the word encouragement is to build up, and it's more than just kind words. It's a process where you affirm and challenge someone to aspire to be better than they would be on their own. A building up process, like Legos. How many of you like Legos? Yes. My son likes to build stuff. I think he's going to get a job as a Lego engineer someday and then send me the boxes of the anyway. You know, when you build something, you want to build it properly, and when you establish a good foundation and build it right from the get-go, it's stronger, it can withstand storms, it can withstand conflict because it's a stronger thing. And so the idea of building up people so that they're stronger, strengthening relationships, you know, particularly within the church family, that's part of this whole thing. That's primarily focused on our church family, but the second reason we want to do this is to show love and concern for lost people within our community in order to connect them to Christ or Christ's healing power. So there's a twofold purpose in practicing hospitality: building up people and strengthening relationships within our church, and secondly, to extend love and concern to people within our community who need to be connected to the healing power of Christ. Pure and simple. If hospitality is about healing, we need to connect them to Christ. Please put out of your mind whatever you think hospitality is, especially as it relates to what you think you can't do or might be unwilling to do. Here's my disclaimer and your reminder. What hospitality is not? Entertainment. Well, okay, it could be that sometimes, all right? It could be that sometimes, but it doesn't have to be that by any stretch of the imagination. By any stretch of the imagination, your house does not have to become a hotel. Though it might not hurt if you have a spare guest room every once in a while to open it up for somebody who's traveling through, but that's between you and the Lord. All right. As I was meditating on this, I realized that there's a scripture in Acts 2 that I use quite often to talk about the purpose of the church, and I realized that it fits perfectly with this concept of extending hospitality in the way that God wants us to. So let's look there. Acts 2, 42 through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I know I've read that in the past. I normally read it from the New King James or the NIV, but I recently set up a little internet app called YouVersion, which lets you access 30 or more different Bible translations. I showed up late at the men's group on Wednesday night, and I forgot my Bible here on the front seat because we were praying for the college students. And so I was rushing over to Darren's because I wanted to get in on the men's group, and I realized I didn't have my Bible, so I got my phone out and downloaded the YouVersion app on my phone so that, you know, I could read the scriptures when I got there. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. I've got 30 different translations on my phone. When did I walk into the Star Trek age, you know? So what I'm reading here, this is actually the New Living Translation, which was one of the many that are available for reading, and that you can set up daily devotional guides, year-long reading guides. Some of them you can just download directly to your computer, and for those of you that are addicted to Facebook, you can post your Bible reading of the day on Facebook and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, all right. That being said, I normally, you know, might read this from the New King James or the NIV, but I was reading it. I liked the way it put a few of these things in the New Living, so I got copied and pasted that one onto the slide. But what a great description of the early church in action, showing that hospitality to each other and to their community in a way that the community is blessed and affected by their example. What an amazing testimony. What an amazing testimony. Well, all right, let's break this down. If, then, hospitality is not entertainment, which we're all thankful for, except those of us that like to entertain, but then you can do that still. It's okay. Since hospitality is not that, let's talk about how we can practice it using what God has given us. Okay, how are we going to do this? How do we practice hospitality? Okay, I'm somebody, I don't think I can practice hospitality. I haven't done it before. How do I do it? How do I do this in a way that honors God and draws people to Christ? Number one, and I'm being a little bit redundant here because this is the same thing that I said earlier in the message, but I figure if I said it twice, you're twice as likely to remember it. Identify the resources and talents that you can actually share with others. And maybe you could underline or circle the word you. Identify the resources and talents that you can actually share with others. Now, again, this isn't rocket science. This is really you identifying, well, what am I good at? What do I have? What can I share? Start to make a list. Maybe think a little bit out of the box. You see, here's what Peter says. 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. Now, obviously, when I make these little outlines for you, there's really not enough room to put everything on one page that I would like. So if at any time during this message, like what I'm about to do right now, you decide you want to write some stuff on the back, you can flip it over and do that. Because I'm going to give you a couple questions, well, more than a couple, four questions, that you can ask yourself. And you can write these down if you would like. And in fact, they will be right here, and then you can just transfer them to your paper. It's amazing how this technology works. It's almost like the Flintstones. Okay, anyway, ask yourself, what do I enjoy that others might also enjoy? Okay, that's a good question. Ask yourself, what am I good at? Well, I make mean chocolate chip cookies. What do I have that I can share? And fourthly, what do I own that I can use to encourage people and build them up? Now, you might really have to think about this for a bit, because I guarantee you there are some things that you may have that you may not think. You mean I can use that to build somebody up? I can use that to encourage somebody? I can use that to practice hospitality? Let me give you some examples. A phone. Can I use a phone to build somebody up? I guess I could. Or something really old school, like a paper and pen. I know, it's radical. Amazing, the power of a note, an encouraging note. I was praying for you yesterday. A coffee maker, powerful. Not a fan of coffee? A can of hot chocolate. Chai, whatever, tea, Tang, Russian tea, okay, what, you know, the list goes on, apple cider, vanilla Coke, a backyard, a grill, I'm gonna get really radical here, a Facebook account. Instead of griping about your life on Facebook, use it to build somebody up. Those inbox notes can be pretty powerful. You get a surprise inbox from somebody that says, hey, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. A local tennis court, a running track, a gymnasium, a car. Somebody needs a ride somewhere. The list goes on. To extending small kindnesses to large ones. Hospitality isn't about a guest room. It's about you offering what you have and saying, Lord, you know, what I've got, what I'm good at, what I own, what I have can be used for your kingdom and to build others up. But keep this next thing in mind. Number two, with all of this stuff, okay, so you kind of throw it out there and there's a wealth of talents, resources, and things that I might have. Be deliberate in your mission. What do I mean by that? I mean practice hospitality on purpose with purpose. On purpose with purpose. I'm going to go back and read that verse from Peter, but I'm going to read a couple verses before it. Back to 1 Peter 4, this time verses 8 through 10. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So much in these verses, so much. Go on the next slide. Tying in with this being deliberate, want to make sure that your attitude is right. I want to be sure your attitude is right. See, the key word that I just read was the word cheerfully, or cheerful. Cheerfully share your home. Cheerfully share your home. Cheerfully share your resources. Cheerfully share your talents. Why is that important? Well, the NIV puts it this way. The first quote is offer hospitality without grumbling. Really? Fine. There's another great quote, old proverb that states, and this is not from the Bible, but this is an old quote. It's a sin against hospitality to open your door and darken your countenance. Think about that for a minute. It's a sin against hospitality to open your doors and darken your countenance. If you're going to do it right with the right attitude, or don't do it. And wait until your attitude is right, then you can do it. Then, B, remember that if hospitality is about healing, ultimately You want people to know the healer. That's the key. Everything that I do, everything that I say, everything that I offer is meant to draw people to the healing power of Christ. Pure and simple. Great example in Matthew 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Sorry, a little Victor Borga humor there. Okay, anyway. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Victor Borga? 3 of you. Okay, good. All right, it doesn't matter. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." It's a pretty big deal for Matthew. As a tax collector, in a controversial position that he is, he meets Jesus, has an encounter with Christ, decides to follow him, and then decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a dinner party, and I'm going to invite all my tax collector friends over, and I want them to meet Jesus. And that's exactly what happened. Simply put, Matthew invited his friends over to meet Jesus. And all these things, the phone, the pen, the coffee maker, the car, the house, the backyard, the grill, your talents, your abilities, your Facebook account. If it's not being used primarily to draw people to Jesus, it's not being used right. Here's a few more ideas for you. Make a list of 5 neighbors and friends who don't know Christ. Pray for them every day. Talk to them every week. Do something special for them. Shovel the walk, mow the lawn, bake cookies, fix their computer. I don't know, something. Wash their windows. Invite them over for a friendly get-together. It's amazing. You know, you could host a block party for your neighborhood. Years ago, people used to do that all the time. A lot of us don't even know the people on our blocks. Of course, if we hosted the party, a lot of people would be like, why? You know, that's part of the problem, I think, of the society that we live in now. You know, we stopped doing that so long ago that everybody's like, why would I do that? The game's on, you know? I mean, leave me alone. But, hey, it's worth a try. Understand that if you invite somebody over for a friendly get-together, you know, it was popular for a lot of years for churches to have Friend Day, and it's kind of silly for you to invite somebody to Friend Day when you're not even their friend yet. Hey, want to come to Friend Day? And who are you? Well, we're in science class together. Really? Oh, no, wait. We work at the hospital. I don't know. Okay, whatever. You know, you can invite somebody over for popcorn and a movie. And not just any old movie. It could be something really encouraging, uplifting, challenging, gasp, even thought-provoking. You know, there's a lot of great uplifting and challenging and encouraging movies out there, like The Ultimate Gift or Amazing Grace or Soul Surfer. I have it under good authority that the movie Courageous comes out soon, doesn't it? Yeah. Yes, I know the churches are showing it. The DVD hits the market soon. We might even try to host something, because you got it pre-ordered, right? And we're looking at maybe the Wednesday just before The Heaven Is For Real. Maybe we should do that here or something. But okay, we'll talk about that. That's another story. Darren's all excited. Okay. Anyway, more ideas. Buy someone dinner or coffee. Get together with someone and play tennis, racquetball. Go walking. Go running. Start a book discussion group. Play board games. Woo! Okay, whatever. The possibilities are really quite endless. If you just sit down in your prayer time and say, Lord, what's a good way for me to connect with people today? What is a good way for me to extend hospitality when I, you know, don't have a guest room and I don't know how to cook and, you know, I live in someone's basement? I guarantee you God can show you the way. Just remember what you're doing. Remember your attitude, why you're doing it. And remember why you're doing it in the first place. Hospitality is about healing. Jesus is the ultimate healer. Let's connect the dots. Okay, let's pray together, shall we? Stand. Father, thanks for a great day. for a great worship service. And thank you, Lord, for all of the people's lives who will be touched when we obediently follow your mandate and extend to those in need grace and healing. God, I pray that you would spark creative ideas in our mind about how we can use what we have to draw other people to you, how we can use what we have to build fellow believers up so that they might be more drawn to who you are and what it is that you want to do in our lives. God, we need to be challenged. We need to be held accountable. We need to be encouraged. And I pray, Father, that we would be able to do that according to your word. And not just be a spectator church, God, but be a church that actively works within its community to affect change. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Look at the person next to you and say, believe it or not, you're a healer. God bless.